I'm grateful for this opportunity of being able to share with you this evening. I'm so sorry that I'm unable to be with you due to the current circumstances, but we have to be thankful for this form of technology which enables me to be with you, if not in person, certainly in spirit. I just want to share just a few very quick things about the society, and then we'll go into God's Word. It's been a difficult 7 months for most Christian societies, and ours has been no exception. It could have been much worse, however, because shortly after the lockdown was announced, the government were making plans to bring forward legislation to extend Sunday trading to allow shops to open 24 hours, 7 days a week. We're very thankful that this did not proceed, mainly due to over 50 MPs on the government side who expressed their great reservations at such a decision. And what was even more helpful was that both the leader of the House of Commons and the leader of the House of Lords told the government that this would be a battle that would not be worth fighting. And so we heard very, very little, and still now, 6 months later, we have heard nothing about any legislation that will be brought before the House. With regard to the prison work, we again have been thankful that we've been able to produce the diary, and already the staff are packing the diaries ready for dispatching in December. We are having to be very, very careful on who is working, and mainly we are doing each day with a certain number of staff, which enables us to keep under the government's guidelines. The literature has been a big disappointment in the sense that as most bookshops have been closed and places like the British Museum that take some of our books have been closed, that has obviously had a big impact upon our literature side. Nevertheless, we're thankful to God that we've been able to keep going, and we just trust that very soon this whole situation will be behind us and we can continue in the work fully that God has given us to do. We do value your prayers, both for the society and for the staff, as it's been a very difficult 6 months for them. But I want to turn to God's Word, and I want to look at a portion that's very familiar to us, and it's a portion that I hope will bring encouragement to us. I want us to turn to the 23rd Psalm. We know this psalm very, very well. It's been a blessing to many, many people. Now, David wrote 74 of the psalms, which were very personal to him, and they expressed his innermost thoughts and feelings. They were psalms of victory and psalms of loss. They were psalms of gain and they were psalms of defeat. They were psalms of sorrow and they were psalms of joy. But the psalm that probably is the most well known for many people is the 23rd. I can remember as a child learning this psalm and being able to recite it, and I can still now do exactly the same. Now, most psalms have a key verse where if you find that verse, you can build your thoughts around it, and Psalm 23 is no exception. It's not difficult to find the key verse. It's the first. The psalm opens with these words: "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." If you go to the prayer book, there is just a slight change here. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd, therefore shall I lack nothing." And it's that I want to share with you this evening. Because there are certain things that we shall not lack if the Lord is our shepherd. The first one is this. I shall not lack provision. I shall not lack provision. Verse 2 says, He makes me lie down in green pastures. Now, when you look at that phrase, what is the key word? Many people would say the noun, pasture. I don't think so. I think the key word is the adjective, and that is the word green. We've had the privilege of taking tours out to Israel over the years that I've been with the society, and I've always preferred to go in the spring. If you go in the autumn, you've gone through the hot summer, and the grass is dry, it's brown, the flowers are limited. But go in the spring and you've just had the winter rains, the grass is green, it's lush, the flowers are new and beautiful. The word green signifies growth, plenty, abundance. When I look at many places throughout the world today, how good God has been to this land of ours. And when we look into our own individual lives, how good God has been to us personally and as families. I tell you this, that we have far more than we deserve. And if we had what we deserved, we would finish up like a group of paupers. Philippians 4:19 says, My God shall supply your every need. God will not supply our wants. We have had 2 children and we have 3 grandchildren. And when all of them were very young, they would come up to us and say, I want this, I want that, I want the other. And I would sit with them and say, but do you need this? Do you need that? Do you need the other? And their faces would drop. We want a lot, but we need little. See, when we look at that verse, some people will say to me, but what about people in countries where they struggle for food and where their homes are in very poor condition? People who have very little. Our daughter works in medicine and she spent a number of times visiting Uganda. And she spent her time among people who were poor. We talk about people in the poverty trap in the United Kingdom. Well, I have to say that if you really want to see poverty, you need to go out to parts of Asia and Africa, and it's a different picture altogether. You see real poverty. And yet, our daughter says that the Christians out there, although they have very little as far as this world's goods are concerned, their spiritual life takes on a new dimension. And she was greatly impressed and greatly challenged too. God may not have provided the things that we have, but certainly he has not failed them in any way whatsoever. Second point I want to leave with you is this. I shall not lack peace. Verse 2 says, He leads me beside the still waters. Or we could say the quiet waters or the peaceful waters? Now again, I'm asking, what is the key word? Some would say the word waters, the noun. No, I'm going back to the adjective again. Quiet, still, peaceful. A few years ago, in Herefordshire, Worcestershire and Gloucestershire, we suffered severe flooding. In our own village, we were flooded out. We couldn't get out at all. Our church had to be closed for a number of weeks. The banks of the Severn and the Avon just burst, and the areas around were devastated. The power and force of water is stunning. It's amazing. Yet the amazing thing is that these same rivers that brought devastation and flooding and homelessness also bring beauty, tranquility, and a peaceful setting. The psalmist said, "He leads me beside still waters." You know, we're living in a world that is turbulent and unpredictable. We're living in a world that lacks peace. Believers today are not governed by events in the world alone. Thankfully, despite the uncertainty that is outside us and around us, within us we can have a peace that passes all understanding. It's a peace that only God can give. And I pray that during these difficult days in which we live, days that could go on much longer, that we might know that God is leading us beside the still waters. May we know that peace which only He will bring. Third thing, I shall not lack restoration. Verse 3 says, He restores my soul. I don't know how you feel, but I feel that I let God down so often. I disappoint Him and I grieve Him. If there is one thing that I thank God for, it's His amazing patience. I thank Him that He is a God who restores the fallen. When we let God down, He doesn't leave us to wallow in despair. He lifts up the fallen. He raises those who are bowed down. It's as though He says, "Yes, you made a mess of that, but come on, get up and try again." How gracious God is. How encouraging God is. Don't give up with God, no matter what circumstances come your way, because God won't give up with you. There's a fourth thing I would like to share. I shall not lack guidance. Verse 3 continues, He leads me in the path of righteousness for His namesake. When I became a Christian in my teens, a verse from Proverbs became very precious to me. It's remained so throughout my Christian ministry. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. God may lead us around at times, but God will never leave us astray. And there's sometimes when I sit quietly at home and I just think to myself, where could I have been today if it wasn't for God's love and mercy towards me? Where would I have been if I'd been left to my own devices and had to make the decisions of life without any outside help from Him? We all need to look to God constantly, in employment, in marriage, in our church life, in the area that we live in. Whenever we come to an important decision that affects us for the future, we need to seek God's guidance in all things. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and never lean to your own understanding. Can I turn to a fifth point? It says in verse 4, I shall not lack His presence. I shall not lack His presence. I find that this psalm is often sung at funerals or read at funerals. I think the reason being is that for unbelievers especially, we have the word death in the psalm. So is death the key word in that section of verse 4? No. I think the key word is again the adjective, which is shadow. I remember when I joined the society, my wife and I had an invitation to go to the Isle of Skye and to Northern Scotland preaching. And I'd never been that far into Scotland. I didn't know the area at all, so the map was a very useful tool to have. I would just wish it was sat-nav then, but there we go. But we set off and we went to Glasgow, and the route took me along the A82, which was along the banks of Loch Lomond, through the valley of Glencoe, and to Fort William, and Fort William to Kyle of Lochalsh, and then across to Skye. It seemed straightforward. We stayed in Glasgow overnight. Then when we woke up the next day, the weather had changed. It was dull, it was misty, it was low cloud, it was wet. Everything that you could put together, it was it. So we set off along the banks of Loch Lomond, which we saw very little of. And then we came to the Glencoe. We travelled through Glencoe, and what an eerie journey that was. Those huge mountains were not only at the side of us, but they seemed to be overhanging us. It was a most eerie experience. When we got to the other end of Glencoe after a long journey, my wife said to me, "Don't bring me on this journey again." I didn't reply to her statement, but we just journeyed on and eventually came to Skye, and we had a good week of meetings, and then we had to return. I knew there was only one way to return, and that was the way that we came, Glencoe, Loch Lomond. When we approached Glencoe, I said nothing to her, and I just kept driving. "Oh," she said, "do stop, I want a photo of that waterfall. Oh, I want to take photos of those mountain ranges. Oh, look at that beautiful view there. Oh, I wish we'd have brought a picnic." We came to the end of Glencoe, And she said, that was beautiful. We must do that again. I've never been on this route. I said, well, you have. When? A week ago. She looked stunned. And then I began to explain that when we came a week ago, we could hardly see anything. The conditions were bad. It was eerie. On the way back, the sky was blue. The sun was shining. The views were glorious. You couldn't imagine it was the same place. The thing that struck me was the sun was shining and it cast great shadows across those mountain ranges. And I discovered that you never see a shadow unless the sun's shining. I thought of that phrase, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. We all will come to that final stage in life. And when we do, let's not think of death, but let's look for the shadow. Because when we see the shadow, somewhere the sun is shining. There's a sixth picture that I want to share with you, still in verse 4. I shall not lack comfort. What a great comfort our shepherd is to all his children. In times of loneliness, he's a comfort. Times when we go through painful experiences, he's a comfort. In times of worry and concern, he comforts. In times of sorrow and bereavement, there is no comforter like him. If you turn to Isaiah 43:2, it says this, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. May we know the comfort of God's presence at all times. Then a seventh picture. I shall not lack protection. We have that in verse 5. David was a man who was hunted by Saul down in the En-Gedi area of Israel. He also faced pressure over his son Absalom, who eventually caused him to have to leave Jerusalem. And then we think of people like Daniel, who was thrust into a den of lions, and his friends Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego thrust into the fiery furnace. Paul at times was hounded by the Jews. He was beaten, he was stoned, he was left for dead. Jesus had battles with the synagogue rulers and the Pharisees. We too at times are faced with challenges. But let's remember this. We are protected from the evil one. The evil one can do nothing to us whatsoever unless it's through God's permission. And nothing will happen to us until our work is done. And when the work is done, then we see our Saviour. Jesus was persecuted until his work was finished. And yet, in this life, I always think that he is before us, he's behind us, he's above us, he's beneath us, he's beside us, he's around us, he's within us. Is that good enough? We are fully protected by him until our work is done. Then there's an eighth picture. I shall not lack joy. We have that again in verse 5. As Christians, we should be a joyful people. Hebrews 1:9 says, "And I have anointed you with the oil of gladness." And there's a very close link between the oil and gladness. Now you may say to me, "You don't know my problems. You don't know the difficulties that I face day by day." And I could say the same to you. You don't know my problems either. But I did know Paul's, because we're told in Corinthians that he was shipwrecked, he was beaten, he was imprisoned, he was stoned, he was left for dead. Yet he wrote to the church at Philippi, and when he did, he said these words, "Rejoice at all times." And again, I say rejoice. John 20:20. He showed them his hands and his feet and his side after the resurrection. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. And we should be rejoicing people. We should be rejoicing people because we have bread to eat of that the world knows nothing about. Rejoice in the Lord at all times. And again I say rejoice. I've just got two more. I didn't tell you at the very beginning that I've got 10 points, but I will do now. I come to the ninth. I shall not lack divine favour. Verse 6 begins, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." You know, we may have been endowed with great riches. We may hold a position in society that's unrivaled power. We may have been blessed with amazingly good health. We may have a personality that has made us popular. But I would give up all these just for the assurance of knowing that God's favour was resting upon me. To experience God's favour and blessing exceeds anything that this world can offer today. Goodness and mercy are monuments of God's grace, and they cannot be compared with earthly treasures. Earthly treasures fade, but goodness and mercy will always follow us to the end of our days. And I finally come to the last point. I shall not lack a heavenly home. The psalm concludes, "And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." What a glorious prospect. No more tears. No more pain. No mourning. But no sin? Do you battle with sin? I do. every day. No more sin and no more death. But the best of all is that we will be with the Lord forever. And that's the Christian's hope. Heaven is God's gift that cannot be bought, and neither can it be earned. It has grace stamped right across the package. I don't know whether any of you have heard of a motorbike stuntman called Evel Knievel. Well, Evel Knievel died in 2008. And he said this: all the money in the world cannot buy your way into heaven. And all the money in the world can't buy your way out of hell. And so I just conclude. Is the Lord your shepherd? There are many people who know the psalm off by heart. But there's a difference in knowing the psalm and knowing the shepherd. And if the Lord is your shepherd this evening, I can say to you, you'll lack nothing, for no good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. Through our lives we have received much, both materially and spiritually, and all God desires of you and me is our grateful and thankful hearts. May God's blessing rest upon each one of us, for his name's sake. Amen.